Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, July 3rd, the year of our Lord, 2022. And this is the fourth Sunday after Pentecost. It is also Independence Day weekend, 4th of July weekend, where we pause to celebrate the best of the United States of America, to celebrate the ideals of this foundational, liberating document. These famous words, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal." Created equal. They are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. That among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And I find great inspiration and encouragement from this closing line. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. That's a good way to start a movement. It's a good way to guide our lives. Might be inspiration for our churches as well, that we would pledge to our God and to one another our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. And with that bit of inspiration in mind, we gather together in worship today to celebrate what is good and right and pure and just and true and lovely, to celebrate what God has done for us through the person of Jesus. So we can begin just by breathing. We take in the breath of life. To look upward. To turn toward the sky. To put a smile on our face. And to call to mind those things that we are grateful for. The people that make us smile and laugh. The good fortune that we have enjoyed in our lives. The freedom that we ought to cherish. And in this spirit, we begin together in worship. Please read with me the opening prayer based on Psalm 66. You can find that in your bulletin. If you go over just to the right of where you found today's podcast, click on that notes tab and the bulletin will come up. Let's begin. Blessed are you, Lord our God, glorious is your name in all the earth. We celebrate who you are and all that you have done for us. You hold our lives in your hands and catch us when we stumble. So we come together today, led by your Holy Spirit, to worship you, to sing your praise, to confess our mistakes, and to receive your love and mercy, made possible through the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ. Be present among us as we worship you, and as we open ourselves to your word. To you be all glory, now and forever. Amen. Friends, our gospel reading today comes from Luke in the 10th chapter, verses 1 through 11, and then we skip ahead to verses 16 through 20. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you.' Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me. And whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me." The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us." He said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." This is the word of God for the people of God. And we give thanks to God for it. Would you join me in a spirit of prayer? Heavenly Father, Lord of the harvest, author of life, we come to you and we give you thanks for the gift of your good word, our sacred stories. You remind us who we are and who you are. You remind us of this eternal and beautiful relationship that you've created, and we celebrate it. And so in this time of listening, open our ears and our hearts and our minds. Save us from misinterpretation or distraction. And I pray, O God, as one who preaches, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart will be pleasing in your sight. We pray all of this in your holy name and say, Amen. Friends, on this weekend where we celebrate Independence Day, it's interesting to have this gospel reading where Jesus sends out his disciples and makes them dependent, makes them vulnerable. Our Independence Day is our sovereignty as a nation, our political independence, our severing our relationship with a tyrannical government. But as fellow travelers in this world, as Christians, we need one another. We just do. We've all been in some kind of situation where we needed help. We might have needed urgent help, medical attention, and we needed the help of a trained expert, of a paramedic, a physician, an emergency room doctor, an oncologist, a brain surgeon. We might have needed financial help to put things together until the end of the month to pay the bills for a little bit while we got our feet back under us. We might have needed some spiritual help, found ourselves in some kind of a crisis, and just needed someone to walk alongside us and to help settle the waters. We all need help at some point in our lives. Jesus knows that there is a community out ahead of him that needs help. They need healing. There are sick folks that need to be healing. There are folks that are filled with unclean spirits that need to be cast out. There are folks who are hungry that need to be fed. There is work to be done as Jesus makes his way toward Jerusalem, as he wanders his way through the desert, amassing disciples as he goes. And this isn't the first time he has sent a group out like this, has sent an advance team, if you will, to go into the towns where he plans to come, to go out and begin to preach the good news and then to arrive there in those places himself. In chapter 9, he sends the 12 out in a very similar mission to this. And they have a very similar response when they come back. In that case, after they've returned and they're telling Jesus about all of the exciting things that they've done, then a crowd gathers. After they've come together to spend some time, a crowd gathers. And Jesus teaches and preaches, and the crowd is so large and it's getting late, and that's the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. Well, today's reading, after all this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So I'm going to need an advance team. We need to increase our numbers to get this word out." So he sends these 70 out. And again, he sends them out vulnerable. He sends them out in a way that at some point they're going to need help. And this will help them find a good hearing for the gospel, for those most inclined to offer help, lodging, a meal, those who will receive the peace offered. This will be a place where the gospel can be heard. This will be a place where the spirit of healing can be received. To go out vulnerable, to go out knowing that they will need help, will actually help them get to their work more quickly. And for them to stay focused, understanding that he's sending out 70 that may be used to eating certain kinds of foods and in a certain way, prepared in a certain way. But he says, when you go and you're received into a home, eat what's presented to you. I really love that image, and that is just receive the hospitality of the local people. Eat what they eat. Be in conversation with them. Emphasize what unifies you as you find yourself as a guest in their home. And don't be afraid to sit down and eat and participate in the meal and to receive the hospitality. There's an assumption here that they're laboring along with the rest of the family and the community. So when you're there, be one with them and receive the hospitality that's present. They go out with a very specific message and a very specific blessing to tell about Jesus and to, in very practical ways, to offer signs of what it means to follow Jesus and to be as a part of this new movement, to offer healing and feeding, to cast out the unclean spirits, that this is the sign of the coming of Christ. It's not fierce independence. Had he said, just pack your stuff, everything you might possibly need, and then go camp on the edge of town. That sends an entirely different message into the community where they're going to serve. For them to go at some level of vulnerability puts them in a very intimate relationship with the people who are gracious enough to give them hospitality. When you've needed help over the course of your life, as you reflect on those times when someone was really there for you at the right moment, I would bet that you remember their name. I would assume that they have a special place in your heart. Even if you don't know their name, remember that person that stopped and gave us directions. The person that pointed us in the right direction. The one that gave us just enough money to make it to the end of the month. Those are holy moments. Those are God moments. And Jesus sends them out vulnerable so that they can participate in those moments. They receive and then they give. And they participate in these ministries in these different towns of mutual blessing. And then they come back and they're so excited about what they've experienced. They've done what he said, which may have also included not wasting your time in places where you aren't received, where there is no hospitality. Shake the dust off and move on. But that's all over. And so then they return. The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name, even the demons submit to us." They had a practical experience, a real life practical experience of the mystery and the power of Jesus. That it's something that they can participate in. He's commissioned them, but they go out into the world and do it. And he says to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning." Because there's something about charity, mutual blessing. There's something about one household gets hold of this message and receives this healing and this grace. And they tell the neighbors. And maybe the neighbors are skeptical at first, but then they, in very real ways, experience this blessing. Right? And the satanic way, the way of the ego, the way of human beings as a commodity to be exploited. Neighbor helping and loving neighbor, all in reverence to God. Satan loses foothold. Satan loses his grip. Satan is cast down from the high places like a flash of lightning. Because charity, grace, compassion, reverence for the Most High God is now being put into practice. People are living as citizens of the kingdom of heaven here and now. And there's nothing that the deceiver can do with that. And he gives them some caution and additional teaching. See, I've given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Rejoice at what you've just seen. In those actions, you 70, you saw what it's like to be a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, where there's enough. There is enough to eat. There is enough healing. There is enough grace and peace. It is this incredible snapshot that we have on this road to Jerusalem that is going somewhere. It's to transform the whole world into the experience that they've just had. That if we can move forward with enough faith and enough vulnerability, offering peace and listening for it and looking for it in return, that will break into the world. That when he makes his way to Jerusalem, and when the authorities of unyielding, graceless law, power, ego, pride, when they refuse to accept the one that stands before them, who's bringing in the new Jerusalem, and they kill him, and they believe that they've won, and then 3 days later, the tomb's empty. Then 3 days later, there are two disciples walking on the road to Emmaus, and they encounter the living Christ. And that evening, they're gathered in the upper room, and in walks the risen Christ, who says, "Peace be with you. Peace be upon this house." And that peace is received. And house by house, person by person, generation by generation, the hungry are fed, the demons are cast out, and we learn to live as citizens of the kingdom of heaven. So as we celebrate our independence, let us also celebrate our interdependence, our dependence on God, on one another, on the promises of peace, on the gift of our vulnerabilities, and the blessings of those who meet us at the points of our needs, and the author of it all, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who offers us this wonderful good news, to which I say, Amen. Heavenly Father, we call out to you and we pray. We thank you for the gift of this day, of your word, this time to reflect on what it is you have to say to us. We pray to you, we ask your forgiveness. The many times we just get it wrong, we fall down. We refuse to listen. You offer peace and we reject it. But in this moment, oh God, we lean in and we ask for the gift of your grace and your peace and your forgiveness. Welcome us back into your home. Offer us your bread to eat, your wine to drink, so that we would be renewed and able to go back out into the world as agents of your grace and your peace. On this weekend when we celebrate Independence Day, remind us of the responsibilities that you place upon us. Remind us of the implications of what it means for us to say one nation under God. Remind us of how vitally important it is when we look at the words of these founders that we are endowed by our Creator with certain rights. That we would never take that for granted, that we would never squander that, O God. Be our ever-present reminder of what is good and right and pure and just and true and worthy. Abide with us always. We pray for those around the world who make big decisions, who have political power or economic power. Convict them, O God, of what is good and true and right and pure and lovely and worthy. Show them who they are and show them who you are. That they would be agents of your will and your grace. And for the folks that feel invisible or forgotten or powerless, remind them of the power they have in your name. That each and every one of us in our own way, the way that you gift us, just like the 70 you sent out, that we would have the power to heal. That we would have the power to cast out that which is unclean. That we would have enough charity and resources to feed and to fill. And God, there are the things that are very specific to us. Celebrations in our lives and challenges in our lives. Our prayer lists. Some of us write them down. Others of us recite them on the way to work or 3 o'clock in the morning when we can't sleep. But you know these lists. So we pause for a moment. We make a place of peace and quiet, and we offer you our prayer lists. And we sit quietly to celebrate your presence with us and to listen for your voice. And we break our silence. We're grateful, O God, for the gifts of peace and quiet. We're grateful for the gifts of our tradition. We're grateful that we have the knowledge that on the day that your disciples came to you, asked you how it is they should pray, that you taught them a prayer. And through the faith of generations, we know that prayer. We've learned it in different ways, but we pray, O God, that you would hear us as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, as we depart from this moment, I pray that we will do so inspired. Inspired by the story of these 70 that went out in the name of Jesus. That went out just vulnerable enough to be able to receive hospitality. To find hospitality. To offer peace and feel it returned. And to not dwell in the places where they were rejected. To simply move on from those places of rejection. And to emphasize those places where peace resonates. Because in the places where peace resonates, demons are cast out. The hungry are fed. Healing happens. Such is the kingdom of heaven. The command to love God, to love neighbor, and to love self. When we abide by it, when we live it out, heaven opens up. Resurrection happens. In that spirit, celebrate this weekend of independence from tyranny and interdependence on one another as we build God's beloved community here on earth. Our God, whom we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who loves you and bids you peace. Go in peace. Amen.